Translation, Bhishma Dev said, "Let me now invest my thinking, feeling, and willing, which were so long engaged in different subjects and occupational duties, in the all-powerful Lord Sri Krishna. He is always self-satisfied, but sometimes, being the leader of the devotees, he enjoys transcendental pleasure by descending on the material world, although from him only the material world is created." Because Bhishma Dev was a statesman, the head of the Kuru dynasty, a great general and a leader of Kshatriyas, his mind was strewn all over many subjects, and his thinking, feeling, and willing were engaged in different matters. Now, in order to achieve pure devotional service, he wanted to invest all powers of thinking, feeling, and willing entirely in the Supreme Being, Lord Krishna. He is described herein as the leader of the devotees and all-powerful. Although Lord Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, he himself descends on the earth to bestow his pure devotion, the boon of devotional service. He himself descends on earth to bestow upon his pure devotees the boon of devotional service. He descends sometimes as Lord Krishna, as he is, and sometimes as Lord Chaitanya. Both are leaders of the pure devotees. Pure devotees of the Lord have no desire other than the service of the Lord, and therefore they are called Sattvata. The Lord is the chief among such Sattvatas. Bhishma Dev, therefore, had no other desires. Unless one is purified from all sorts of material desires, the Lord does not become one's leader. Desires cannot be wiped out, but they have only to be purified. It is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita by the Lord himself that he gives instructions from within the heart of a pure devotee who is constantly engaged in the service of the Lord. Such instruction is given not for any material purpose, but only for going back home, back to Godhead. Bhagavad Gita 10:10. For the ordinary man who wants to lord it over material nature, the Lord not only sanctions and becomes a witness of activities, but he never gives the non-devotees instruction for going back to Godhead. That is the difference in dealings by the Lord with different living beings. As the king of the state rules both the prisoners and the free citizens, but his dealings are different in terms of devotee and non-devotee. Non-devotees never care to take any instruction from the Lord, and therefore the Lord is silent in their case. Although he witnesses all their activities and awards them the necessary results, good or bad, the devotees are above this material goodness and badness. They are progressive on the path of transcendence, and therefore they have no desire for anything material. The devotee also knows Sri Krishna as the original Narayan, because Lord Sri Krishna, by his plenary portion, appears as Karanadakshay Vishnu, the original source of all material creation. The Lord also desires the association of his pure devotees, and for them only the Lord descends on the earth and enlivens them. The Lord appears out of his own will. He is not forced by the conditions of material nature. He is therefore described here as Vibhu, or the Almighty, for he is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. End of purport. Om Agyanantananda Syagyanan Gyanansalakaya Chakshurunitam Nitashmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namaham Vishnum Daya Krishnam Vashtaya Bhutare Simati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Prasharine Nirvishesha Shandavari Harine Jai Sri Bhagavad Gita. Translation again. Bhishma Dev said, "Let me invest my thinking, feeling, and willing, which was so long engaged in different subjects and occupational duties, in the all-powerful Lord Sri Krishna. He is always self-satisfied, but sometimes, being the leader of the devotees, he enjoys transcendental pleasure by descending on the material world, although from him only the material world is created." Here we are hearing the words of the Mahajan. Mahajans are our heroes. They're the ones we follow. They're the examples of these people. They're pure devotees. They mark the path of devotional service to Krishna. And here we're reading about the Bhishma Dev, the great general warrior. He has a special rasa with the Kachyas, have kind of special behavior sometimes. So his special rasa with Krishna was that of a Kshatriya, as was explained or will be explained, how he's enjoying Krishna rushing at him with a chariot wheel to kill him. And he's angry. My Lord is so angry. He's rushing at me to kill me. And he has his spots of blood on him. I've been shooting him with my arrows, which he says, according to Krishna, they felt like love bites between his exchange with him and his devotees. Because material energy can't affect Krishna, right? It's his energy. So if you shoot an arrow at Krishna or throw rose petals, it's the same thing for him, if it's done with love. So although Bhishma taking the position of the opposing party, he was doing his duty, right? He's a very dutiful person. He's fighting to his best abilities. But his bhava is, he's my worshipful Lord. He's coming to, and he's rushing at me. And he's angry, and his hair is flying, his beautiful black hair is flying. And he's been, because I've wounded him with my arrows, and he's got blood on him. But those bloods are like gopi dots, what was it? Yeah, face painting, right? It looked beautiful, decoration on him. And he's so angry, and his chariot is falling off in the wind, and he's not even bothering to pick it up. He's just so determined. So this is meditation. Nice meditation for Kachi. It's a nice meditation for anyone, actually, to see how the Lord's reciprocating with his different devotees. And you've seen the painting, Bhishma Dev standing like that. He's not going to resist. He's not going to even try. At this stage, he's not going to try to fight it. Lord, he's coming at me like a lion rushes at an elephant to kill him. He's in ecstasy, feeling like this. So this is the pure devotional service. Who can understand this? Everyone thinks one has to be really pashanti, peaceful, and that's, you know. But here is a mood of the battlefield is going on. There's screams and there's shouts and there's blood and there's smoke. Not smoke, yeah, I guess it's smoke. They're throwing atomic weapons. But this is Bhishma's meditating in the midst of this. So we can't make any excuses when we're trying to chant our japa peacefully, and as this is going on, that is going on. So as long as, you know, we have to love Krishna somehow or other in any of those recommended ways, the five primary rasas and the 12 other different types of ways we can do him. So Bhishma's thinking, let me invest my thinking, feeling, and willing. Thinking, feeling, and willing, that's, you know, that covers just about everything, right? We think about something, we get a feeling for it, and then we start to act on it, willing it to happen. And then we carry on the material energy is doing everything, right? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, those bewildered souls, they think they're the doer of the activities, where in fact everything is carried out by the material energy on the material platform. It's Krishna's energy. works under my direction, Krishna's. But according to our desires, we're thinking about something, then we get a feeling for it. Yeah, let's do it. Right? Let's go for it, or let's run away from it. One or the other. Those two things. And as soon as we decide, as soon as that willing comes in, then the endeavor starts. But that's all done by Krishna. I mean, by the demigod, 33 crores of demigods. Otherwise, we don't have the power of movement and doing things. Krishna says, I am the ability in man. That ability was invested and controlled by his demigods. He's got 33 crores, 33 million. Devatas, empowered devotees, who are manipulating the material energy for him. So the power to move is sanctioned by somebody else. The power to see, there are all these different devas in charge of the different elements so we can actually, the perception and movement can take place. And the living entity, the soul, is actually passing through this, in a kind of impersonal way. You can imagine the little tiny spark is traveling through this earth, water, fire, air, mind, intelligence, ahankara, conglomeration, this cosmic manifestation, right? Which is constantly changing, colors, sounds, everything like that. We're just passing through that, Krishna says. Meeting good and evil and now sojourn through this. You know, you get, sometimes it's comfortable, sometimes it's uncomfortable, then you'll move away, you endeavor to move away from something which is uncomfortable, naturally. And you'll intend to steer towards that which is pleasing. That's more or less what's going on in the material world, that's all that's happening. And according to your karma, then you'll get, you'll achieve the, your endeavor to the degree of the amount of karma or credit that we have, right? We can only use our credit card as much as on the card. You can't use more. So it's like that. The karma's like that. So as much as you're worth, as much as you're due, you can get, not more, not less. So that's going on automatically, but so we're moving through this energy and experiencing happiness and distress according to our karma. But being bewildered, Krishna's covered us, right? When he's covered us with forgetfulness. Being bewildered, we think we're doing everything. Yeah? We're the doers and we're the enjoyers of our result. In one sense, you are, of course. There's five factors in every. You have to consider five factors in everything. In one sense, you are, but ultimately, it's the Lord is, because it's His earth, it's His water, it's His fire, it's His air, it's His sky, it's His mind, it's His intelligence, it's His ego. We're just utilizing this faculty. We have our own mind, intelligence, and ego on the spiritual platform, but that's covered. It's like when we put our colored glasses on, you see everything that particular color through those particular glasses. So we get this particular coverings, rajas, tamas, sattvas. And then we're busy trying to avoid the problems of life. And trying to enjoy life. This is all that's going on, right? That's all we're doing. Only those two things, the primary things that perpetuates the whole universe. So Bhishma Dev obviously is a great soul. Obviously he's telling us how to behave. What should our mentality be? Now at this moment it's a time for leaving the body, or, you know, almost time for leaving the body. Of course, for Bhishma Dev it was, but in a battlefield, at any time you can leave the body, so it's a very precarious situation. You're just going to think about winning or losing. There's not much else going on. So here he's saying, Bhishma Dev is saying, now it's all over. Oh my, I'm not going to be, I'm not going to be a manager anymore. I'm not going to be the advisor anymore. I'm not going to be all these things anymore. I don't have to do all this administration and care. I don't have any more responsibilities. Right? He's laying on the bed of arrows. Glorious. Everyone has come to see him. All the devas, all the rishis, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself have come to see him. Even the Pandavas, you know, he's the people you're fighting with. So, kind of the theater's over, the drama is over for him. Just like that when you leave your body, the drama's over with your friends and enemies, and it doesn't make any difference anymore because you know you're not going to be part of this act, this show anymore. So then you get in a different frame of mind. So he's saying, you know, I've been thinking, feeling, and willing. That's all we're practically doing while we're awake. So he's saying, let me invest this now thinking, feeling, and willing. I've nothing else to do. I've no more duty to do in life. I've done it, and I can't do anything anyway. When you're going to leave, you need the faculty of the body, the earth, water, fire, and air, mind, and intelligence. But that's all been taken away. Krishna withdraws. Krishna gives, and Krishna gradually withdraws the ability to do anything. This is the gradual procedure. To the lifetime, you'll get all these things when you come with the birth. Then as you go through life, and then you're enjoying, and you're excited in the beginning, and it's amazing, and then you want to go out and do things and create things, and then it gradually, as the age time passes and it gets old, then you gradually can't do it so much anymore. You can't keep up the pace, same pace with everyone else. You're being left behind by the young generation, and you're not on top anymore. And you gotta take a back seat a little bit, and then you end up, you know, digging the garden, you know, pruning your roses, and then everything gradually withdraws, and it's a struggle to do anything. So that what we were excited about when we were young in the youth with the passion, then it actually becomes a problem for us. You know, the body which we were considering was a source of pleasure now becomes a source of misery, the same thing. And that's what it is. It's just, the material body is awarded for suffering, Prabhupada says. The spiritual body is awarded for enjoying transcendental bliss, and the material body is awarded for suffering. So when the body is young, healthy, and enlivened, then you don't think about that. You don't think you're suffering, because there's nothing to compare it with. This is the best, you know. You're young, and it's time you're going to be the king or the princess. It's time to go, right? Youth. That's why Krishna stays at that age, 15. Right? He stays at that age. It's a good time. you don't think about anything just to improve, because we don't know anything better. But if you've forgotten your actual situation in the spiritual world, your actual real existence is Satchitananda, which is incredible situation, then it's miserable. Even the best, even on the heavenly planets, Krishna says, it's all miserable actually, compared with that. But if you don't have that Satchitananda experience, in that Satchitananda atmosphere, then, you know, then the swaga is fantastic. You know? And whatever we have here, if we've forgotten swaga, if we've ever been there, and then whatever our nature is, we'll like certain things and certain activities and certain mentalities, and that'll be the best we can do here. So that's how it is. But at that time, at the time of leaving the body, like Bhishma, then all these things, they lost their meaning. All these things lose their meaning more, because they're not sources of pleasure, right? When you're leaving your body, if someone brings your favorite dish there, your big plate of lasagna, then what? You're not interested, right? Right? Difficult to eat a little something with a spoon, baby food with a spoon. Oh, but same things are there, but the desire is gone. Desire to enjoy it is gone, because you can't enjoy it. You know, if you eat that, it's going to cause you a big problem. You can't digest it. Krishna's taken away the power of digestion. He's leaving you. I am the power of digestion. So the very thing that, the very things that we thought we put our faith in, that they're the source of pleasure, it reverses and they become the source of misery. Right? That the senses become a source of misery after, after the, Krishna withdraws everything, withdraws that ability. So, Bhishma Dev is in that situation. He's leaving his body. And he's waiting. He knows he's going to leave his body, and he knows when he's going to leave his body. So he's thinking, now it's all finished. All the management's finished. all the 18 sleeping, mating, defending, all the creating, leaving a carbon imprint. It's all finished. I'm just going to focus on Krishna. Now, what else is? What else is the use of anything else? So you will have this. You will have these realizations at the time. Also, if you kind of grow old naturally, so you'll become very advanced quickly at that time. Because now we don't realize it, right? Because we're still able and mobile, and we don't think life is so bad. It's not so bad, right? Thinking like that, right? But actually, you know, at that time you realize it is bad. You're out of control. It's out of your control. No, you're just waiting. You're just waiting. And it's not pleasant. Right? I mean, materially speaking, it's not pleasant. You're waiting for to leave the body. The body is deteriorating all around you. That which was a source of pleasure, now it's become a source of misery. So what else are you going to do at that time? We have knowledge, right? We'll remember Krishna. We remember the Vaishnavas. So it'll be very easy at that time. Now it's difficult, right? We're trying to chant japa. That's all we have to do. We're supposed to be dying when we chant japa. We're supposed to die materially. Right? This is my japa period. Nothing else is doing. No management, no housework. Switch off and then Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But that's difficult, right? For us. Difficult to chant one mala. Not one mala, one mantra even, without thinking of those things, oh, what I have to do, and this, that, and the other. And so they're difficult. That's with our practical experience. They're difficult. But at that time, there's nothing to do, nowhere to go, nothing to prove. You realize, this is it. You're materially, we're a failure. Nothing material can help us. We'll know that. We'll understand, because we have this knowledge. We know what's going to happen. We're prepared. And the devotees are so kind. They come around us, and they're chanting Hare Krishna, and they're giving you Charanamrita, showing you pictures of Krishna. And glorious, fortunate. Then we actually, they're encouraging us. Just let it go. Let it all go. you've done your bit. You've done your best. Now you move on. Now it's time to go. Remember Krishna. So invest your thinking, feeling, and willing. That's all there is, right? Everything is more or less done through the agency of the mind, because the mind is a connecting point, more or less, between spirit and matter. It's the mind which decides, more or less, what is spirit and what is matter. Whether I'm doing it for my improvement, or I'm doing it for Krishna's service. I'm doing it for my benefit or Krishna's benefit. That mentality denotes whether it's spiritual, whether it's material. That's all. It's not a secret. It's just if you're doing it for yourself, and yourself in bodily consciousness is the body, then that's called material. If you're doing it for Krishna, it's the same thing. So it's just a paradigm shift you have to make. So at that time, at this particular time, then there's no point in doing it for the self. Nothing to gain. There's nothing to gain. The object of enjoyment has become an object of suffering. Why would you want to aggrandize that? How would you want to promote that? Something which is a point of suffering. You actually want to get away from it. It become a relief to leave it. In the beginning, it may be fearful. Death is very fearful. But at that time, it would be a great relief to get out of it. So if you have this, and we have this knowledge, it's our normal discussions. So now we know what to do. We can focus on the lotus feet of Krishna. Like this. It'll be like this. Curtain will open. Then you can meditate on your particular Ishtadeva or your guru. Same thing. And remember that. Nothing else. You have nothing else to do. Right? And you can't do anything else practically. But still, it's very difficult to give that concept up of being the doer. And then you're thinking, what will happen to my family when I'm gone? How will they manage without me? Right? Thinking I'm the controller of the... We're never the controllers, but we have that controlling idea. How would they live without me? So these are the material things that keep you here and bring you back into another body. If you're thinking like that, you can take another body and be with them in your next life if you think that they can't live without you. So here, Bhishma is given the example. We follow in the footsteps of the Mahajan. So now, let these subtle activities, which lead to the gross activities of thinking, get in the feeling, I'd like to do, I would like this to happen. You get a feeling for it. Yeah, that's good. I'll do it. Then the willing, then the action kicks in after that. So that would go to Krishna. Just give that, nothing else to Krishna. Nothing else but, Krishna. So this is Bhishma's, and in that condition, he's just going to meditate on Krishna, and he's going to talk about the Krishna's glories, his name, his qualities, his beauty, all this wonderful explanation here. So the and then Krishna, he says Krishna's the leader of the devotees. And that's a nice word, a nice way of looking at it. Krishna is the leader of the devotees. We think it's better to think that Krishna is a leader than we're a follower. Krishna, because he's a leader. There's a different implication there. So he's the leader of the devotees. He's coming to lead us. Lead us where? Back to Godhead, out of the material world. So we should accept his situation. He is our leader, actually. He explained here for the devotees and the non-devotees, he's actually as a super soul, he's sanctioning everything, but he's also sanctioning the foolish desires of our material consciousness. Krishna sanctions those, but for the devotees, he says. Dwelling within their hearts, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Prabhupada's quoting here, Bhagavad Gita 10:10, that even if one is not so intelligent enough to actually, completely just surrender to Krishna, if one is sincere, then Krishna says, he carries what you like, he maintains what you have. And he gives that intelligence by which you can come to him. In other words, if you've actually been served, your desire is, you have a sincere desire to serve Krishna, that's sufficient. And you're trying to execute it. Then Krishna can take care. So even if we may find it difficult to think of Krishna all the time, then, especially at that time also, maybe other things going on if you're, other discerning things going on at that particular time if you're not in such good health. But then Krishna, he can show himself to you, even if you can't remember him, because he's not going to forget what you've done, the service that you've done. So it just depends really on sincerity. Once we know what to do in Krishna consciousness, which doesn't take long to find, to read, we understand and we read the books, couple of years, and you know what to do, not what to do. Then it's a question of application. If you're sincerely trying, even though we may be weak or we may be not really, I don't have a lot of ability to do it, but Krishna is accepting that. It's sincerity. And then he gives us that intelligence, or he reveals himself to us, or he gives that understanding at that a crucial time that we can come to him. Or not a crucial time, but any time one is actually really sincerely trying to surrender to Krishna. So, but he doesn't do that to the non-devotees. Although he fulfills their desires, like he fulfilled our desires also, so he fulfills our material desires also. But he doesn't give that intelligence to come to him to the non-devotees, because that's not what, they don't want it. They're not interested, so they don't get it. But those who are actually interested in Krishna, they want to serve Krishna, they want to love Krishna, then for them he reciprocates differently. Although he says he's equal to everybody, but here we find he's being partial. Non-devotees, they don't get that instruction how to go back to Godhead. Only for the devotees. But that's not really partiality, because Krishna says if you become my devotee, I'll protect you. If you want to become on the other party, the Asura's party, then I will do something else, annihilate. But so the choice is actually ours. But the rule is there. I deal with the devotees like this, I deal with the demons like this, which party you want to be in. So he's not interfering with our choice. But the rule is there. If you join the devotee party, he's favorable. If you join the Asura party, then he's unfavorable. That's not partiality. Eh? It's just a rule. That we're making that choice, and he's not going to interfere with our free choice. So that's what that's what happens to the devotees of the Lord. It says he comes here, he comes to this material world simply for the pleasure of his devotees. Sometimes it says he came because he's missing his devotee. He wants to be with his devotees. He comes to the material world, or to relieve their separation. Yeah? The pure devotees who are just like the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Advaita Acharya was calling and crying for the Lord. He's worshiping the Lord with Tulsi, Ganga water, calling and crying for the Lord. Please come, please. There's such bad condition in this time. Please come, please come. And Haridas Thakur was also chanting like that. Then the Lord says, I came because of your loud calling. You're feeling your separation. I came to relieve that separation. And it likes to come. Although it's an inferior place, material world, who would want to come here if once you're in the spiritual world? So he's not coming here to enjoy. Why should he? He's gonna leave that place which is only enjoyment. Practically. Huh? No old age, no disease, no death. He's leaving that place. And he's coming here simply because he wants to be with his devotees. So the Lord is very personal. He actually loves us more than we love him, actually. He never stopped loving us. Right? He never left us, we left him. So his love is the same for us. Just that but because we have something else came up, another agenda came up, then we find ourselves here, but his love hasn't changed. He hasn't forgotten us. So therefore he comes to see his pure devotees also, he comes here. But of course he's not affected by the inferior energy, because it's his energy and it works exactly how he wants it to work. So he's one Swarup Shakti that expands into many hundreds of different energies. So like that we say specifically the material energy, the jiva energy, tattva shakti, that's us, the spiritual energy and the material energy, there's basic three categories. But they're all his energy, so the material energy, the spiritual energy, it's acting according to his desire. It's his energy, and it's divided and acting this way and it's acting that way. But he can reverse it if he wants. If he wants matter to act as spirit, he can. Because he's made spirit act as matter. His original energy is spirit, or the origin of spirit. We can't categorize what that energy is. But he wants it to act in one way it acts, by his desire. So also, that can the material energy can also act spiritually by his desire. At least it's not going to bother him when he comes. There's no pressure for him. There's no such thing as old age, disease, and death for Krishna. If he gets a headache, that's only to increase some pastime, give his devotees an opportunity for some service. So that's not a problem for him. That's why he's always composed. And that's why Krishna is very difficult to understand Krishna. Because we have two principles we act on, is defending, fearing, mainly it's defending. That's the main principle the material works on, because material energy is very aggressive. So everything's deteriorating, right? You know, this won't be here in another 20 years, 30 years. And this everything's going to disappear. The body, everything's, that's the physics of the place. But we're struggling to keep it going and enjoy it. But everything is falling apart around you, kind of thing. But these things don't affect Krishna. This time and space, they don't affect Krishna because they're his time and space. They serve him. Then he's not affected at all. So when he comes, and his own place comes, the Dham, his own associates come, and he's carrying on as normal. He carries on here like he does in the spiritual worlds. To please his devotees and please himself, he'd be with his pure devotees on the earth again. And at the same time, by enacting those pastimes, spiritual pastimes within the material world, we can get attracted, people like me, or other conditioned souls, who get attracted to those pastimes. Because they're doing exactly what we want. Right? They're having a good time, and they're having not any problems. The pure devotees. At least Krishna's immediate associates, like the cowherd boys, etc. They don't have any problems. They were protected. And they feel safe with Krishna. So that's what we want. We want security and we want happiness. So Krishna said, come join my party. Look, we're having a ball here. We're having a good time. You come and join. Come. He's open. He's free. So why not go there? I'm showing you what you want. Right? You want to be in a fearless condition. You don't want to worry about the future, right? So my friends don't worry about the future. Well, they don't fear anything because I'm here. They have no fear. Once the Prabhupada was asked, how does it feel to be Krishna conscious? He said, I have no fear. Fearing is the eating, sleeping, mating, fearing, they say. One crazy person suddenly said, I have no fear. Prabhupada said, do you stop at a red light? He said, yes, then you have fear. So without fear, that's a big thing. Because fearing is the main thing. Defending. The whole day we spent on preparing in fearful condition to prevent fear. And they're in ecstasy because they're with Krishna. He's a reservoir of pleasure. So come on. He's come on. I'm here. I'm performing these activities as Ram. Everyone is peaceful, happy, as Gauranga, as Krishna. What kind of choice you have? You can come to me in Ayodhya, Dwarka, Mathura, Vrindavan. Where do you want to? Big range. So that's his kindness. So he's always having a good time, Krishna. He's coming out of love for his devotees, to be with his devotees. Same time he's going to give them pleasure, same time he's going to hook us, conditioned souls, to thinking, hey, this is a better way of life. This is real life there. I'm going to join. So we get all these instructions from the Mahajans, and also by their personal example of the proper way to utilize our thinking, feeling, and willing in this particular incident. Let me read this translation again. Bhishma Dev said, "Let me now invest my thinking, feeling, and willing, which were so long engaged in different subjects and occupational duties, in the all-powerful Lord Sri Krishna. He is always self-satisfied, but sometimes, being the leader of the devotees, he enjoys transcendental pleasure by descending on the material world, although from him only the material world is created." Hey, Bhagavan Sri Krishna ki. Mahajan Bhishma Dev ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. O Premanandi. Bhaktivedanta Manav Bhaktivinoda ki jai.